If you're not standing already, can you go ahead and stand for the reading of the word? Let's turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation today because I love the translation here. We'll start in verse 18. Anybody excited about the reading of the word? Come on. Can't tell you how many times I've told myself I ain't going to wear a sweatshirt. Pretty much guaranteed to sweat anyways, but Lord. All right, here we go. Verse 18. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I've chosen you, taking you out of this world to be mine. So remember what I taught you, that a servant is a superior to his master. And since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obey my teachings, they'll also obey yours. They will treat you this way because you are mine and they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin. But now their sin is left uncovered. If anyone hates me, they hate my Father also. If I had not performed miracles in their presence like no one else had done, they would not feel the guilt of their sins. But now, they've seen and hated both me and my Father. And all this has happened to fulfill what's written in their scriptures. Ooh. If you want to hear about that one, you got to come to my perspective class at 6:30 on Wednesday nights in the Fellowship Hall. They hated me for no reason. And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. And you will talk, and you will tell everyone the truth about me, for you have walked with me from the start. God, open up our hearts and minds. Let the teaching of your word be easy. Let my lips be your lips, my thoughts be your thoughts. Every word that comes from my mouth today, honor and glorify you. Let us leave here different today, changed by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you can be seated. Find your neighbor. Look at them and say, I don't know what's about to happen. Buckle up. All right, so last week was Life Group Sunday. How many people signed up for a life group last week? Let's go. How many people attended a life group this week? Wednesday, Friday, Sunday? Yeah. How about this, y'all? We had 265 people in the first week attend life groups. That's awesome. That is awesome, okay? That's incredible. The reason that you're supposed to be in those classes is because this, we've talked about this. Last week I almost talked to you, almost used it as a vision Sunday as well to talk about what I had on my heart about this church and where we're supposed to go from here. And that is that we have gotten the being welcoming of God's presence, right? Okay. We're worshipers, we're praisers, we've shifted, right? We've shifted in culture. The culture of this church is moving towards, you know, something that is, I believe God's building us up, raising us up to go into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Best is yet to come, amen? And that being said, what I kind of shared with you guys is that my fear as a pastor is that we will not do what Jesus said to do, which is to disciple people, right? It's not enough to just come in here on a Sunday morning and have a good church service, go home all lifted up and being like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, all right. That was good church today. And by Monday, you're listening to your country music again. By Tuesday, you're listening to that Taylor Swift mess. That's for you, Kyla. And by Wednesday, you've gone full-blown AC/DC hellion. All right? It's because you come into church on Sunday morning and think that's enough, and that's not enough, okay? That's not enough. We are called by Jesus to make disciples, okay? That's what we are called to do. And so I wanted us to kind of move into that area, all right? And part of what we have to do in terms of what making disciples is about, right, is to teach people how to share their testimony, teach people what the gospel actually looks like so they can go and share that good news with others. But as I talked to you guys about that last week, I kind of want to follow that up this week with just, I was going to preach another message. I really was. I was going to preach on, I told you a little bit earlier, are you a watcher or are you a worshiper? And I was going to dig into the difference of what praise and worship actually is, okay, because a lot of people don't know what praise and worship is and the difference between praise and worship. We make a praise with our lips. We come into the house of God. We make a praise with our lips. We're praising when we're driving down the road and we're telling him how good he is and how thankful we are. But worship is a lifestyle, okay? I was going to dig in a little bit on that, but the Lord led me here last minute because I believe he wants to do something and teach us something today, and that is this. Number one is that two things are going to happen when you go and you share the gospel, okay? Two things are going to happen when you are a fully surrendered, fully sold out, fully bought in Christian, okay? Two things are going to happen. Number one, they're going to hate you, right? That's what Jesus told us. In the very first verse there, verse 18, he said, just remember, they hate you. Right? But the second thing is this, and I'm going to walk through this, okay? And then by the end, I hope you have a good understanding of why I'm starting it off this way. Number one, they're going to hate you. Number two, it's going to be the most rewarding thing you ever do in your life, is share the good news with people. Okay? So I want to encourage you. I want to go walk through this, walk through some hurdles that Jesus talks about here, and then I want to walk through what you need to do, okay? So, I ain't going to take too long. It's 92 minutes. Just kidding. I just wanted to see how many eyes went up going, what's 92 in terms of hours? Let's read 19 and we'll go to 20. We'll read 19 and 20, Matthew. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you want to align yourself with the values of this world, they hate you. I have chosen you, taken you out of the world to be mine. So, remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. All right. I ain't have this in my notes at all. I don't really have much notes today, if I'm going to be real honest with you, because it was last minute. But here's the thing. All right. In today's society, for some reason, what I believe is the case with the church, okay? I'm talking about the church world. What I believe has happened with the church is the same thing that we have done and become as an American, all right? What I believe that the church has done is, I don't believe that necessarily people don't have time to read the Bible. I think a lot of times people just don't want to make time to read the Bible because they don't want to know what's in it. Because what they don't want to do is have to listen to something that God told us was right or wrong. At the end of the day, people are like, well, I don't want a rule book. Jesus is love. Yes, he is. And if you love him enough, you would read more about him. But more, the problem is at the end of the day, you love yourself more than you love him. Right? That's what we do as humans. We love ourselves more than we love the word of God. Right? I don't know about you, but I love me some ribs. Praise God for some good ribs. And if they're sitting in front of me, I'm not just going to let them sit there without devouring them and picking them off the bone. I'm going to eat every bite of them ribs. And then I'm going to move on to dessert. Now, I'm going to skip the salad because I ain't no rabbit. But I'm going to move to dessert. And if there is a chocolate cake with some vanilla ice cream with some chocolate hot fudge drizzled over the top right in front of me, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat that thing, every bit of it. No matter how full I am, I'm going to eat it because it's delicious. And I don't know if you know this about the Bible, but Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. The problem is, we don't find the Bible appetizing. It ain't what's hitting the palate today. That ain't what I want today. I don't want to read about Jesus and read about all the things he tells me in terms of the way that he loved me and how I could love him better. Right? And it's interesting because I just find it so interesting that Jesus is up in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, left us down here to represent him, but we don't want to have anything to do with him because we'd rather him just be our get out of jail free card instead of loving him with all of our heart. And so that's why we don't read the word. Don't you know that a servant, me, you, us, isn't superior to his master? And since they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they'll also obey yours. Now that's something right there. Oh my. All right, now let me tell you this. I'm going to preface this before anybody gives me a hard time later. Saying, Pastor Jamie, who said this? No, I'm going to tell you this first. Listen, here at Lifegate Church, here's what we believe. Here's what we believe. We believe that we are here to help you find your purpose through the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's our mission here. Not only do we want to do that, but we don't want to just say it. We want to do it. It's the reason why we've added some of the classes and courses and curriculum that we've added. It's because we desperately want to help you find your purpose in life. So we know that it's not just easy to find that all on your own. Not everybody just happens to stumble upon their purpose in life. You know, I mean, so what we do here is we have a phone number. I told y'all that earlier. We have a phone number that's connected to our pastor's phones. Some of them don't even know that yet. We just started that. Those of you who didn't make it to staff meeting this week, you got a phone number connected to your phone. Surprise! And so, anyways, so we want to make sure that you know we're in this journey with you, okay? We are in this faith walk with you. Now I'm going to get to this point. It is the hardest thing to be a pastor and watch a bunch of knuckleheads run around after you done taught them something and they won't go do the opposite. That is the hardest thing as a pastor, is preach something 2 weeks later, somebody coming to you with that problem when you gave them the full-blown solution in that counseling session, in that message, in that class. You gave them the roadmap, and they went the other direction and said, why didn't I find the answer? Because you went the whole opposite way because you didn't listen to what I taught you. That's a hard thing to do as a pastor. It's a hard thing to do as a leader, right? But Jesus tells us here, look at that. If they obey my teachings. If they obey my teachings, they'll also obey yours. So I used to think it was my fault. What it is not my fault. It's that you ain't listening to Jesus. So that took a little bit of weight off my shoulders. But it gave me some insight to something. And it's this, is that if you can't be obedient to the word, to the God who loves you, how in the world are you going to be obedient when someone hates you? How in the world are you going to be obedient to somebody when they're spitting in your face and telling you, don't tell me that mess, you little bigot. Get out. If you can't be obedient to the one who loves you, how in the world are you going to be obedient? Because here's the deal. There's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit starts to urge you and press into you. Go share with that person. Go talk to them. Go share the good news with them. I need you to go and talk to that person because they need to hear about my love. And you just sit back and you go one time. And one time you go tell somebody, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. And they look at you and they go, get out of my little face. So you go back and you're like, oh man, Jesus, that stunk. What they had to do that for? Why they hate me so bad? And he's like, hey, go talk to that person. Now go over here. Go talk to them. Hey, let me tell you, I ain't doing that again. I don't want to get spit in my face. I don't want to get hated. So you know what we do? We sit back and the Lord's like, Holy Spirit's like, go talk to that person. Instead of even that, we get to a point where we go like this. Not me, Jesus. Not me, Holy Spirit. Don't choose me. Remember how you did with Moses? Find me an Aaron, please. I can't do this. How in the world do you think you're going to actually share the gospel with people if you can't be obedient enough to even open up his word, read his word, understand how to love him better, and be better for him? Because if you can't be obedient in the small things, how in the world are you going to be obedient when you know the world hates you and you need to go and share the good news with them? Because go to the next verse. They'll treat you this way because you're mine. You need to stop acting like people hate you. They don't hate you, they hate the God in you. Some of you need to let the boldness of Christ rise up inside of you and remember, oh, they don't hate me, they just hate the Jesus in me. And you know what? If you're going to hate the Jesus in me, that's okay, because I know where I'm going. I know what my reward is. And then, go to the next verse. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin. Ooh! You might not get through to anybody, but what you're going to do is rip it open. The love of Christ reveals something because the world doesn't think that they're sinful. Paul tells us that. The world doesn't believe that they're sinning by living that lifestyle. World don't think they're sinning by doing them drugs. The world don't think they're sinning if they're a dude shacking up with another dude. You try to talk to somebody with a whole different truth in their mind. And so some of you just kind of back up. Now, I can't talk to that person. I can't tell them that. They'll just yell at me. Tell me, get away. I'll get to be called a bigot by everybody. Everybody gonna tell me, you know, oh, he just hates people. He just hates everybody. He just doing them Bible thumping, Pentecostal, run aisle running, slain in the spirit, little jokers, holy rollers. And you don't want that type of attitude towards you. What if you're the one that tells them the truth? Hey, you know what Jesus said about that? It's wrong. What you're doing's wrong. Now you do it in love and you do it in grace and you do it with love, full of love. Because here's the bottom line. If you cowered away, that means you're lacking in love. If you become a coward and say, I'm not talking, no, they can just see how they live, how you know, they do that now. No, I'm not doing that. I ain't gonna talk about Jesus with them. Times are different. People don't respect you for your opinion anymore. They don't care what your opinion is. But what they do care about is truth. And when you share the truth with them, what it does is it uncovers some things. And once that's been uncovered, now they feel guilt and shame. Now, if you It don't matter if you're a hated person, if you're doing your job in the kingdom. The only way that you can plant something is if you rip it open. The ground has to be cultivated. You got to dig in. You got to break up the ground. That's what telling someone the good news is and telling them what they're doing wrong is. You don't do it to condemn them, and you don't do it to judge them. Not when they're in the world. You do it in love. They need to hear you share Christ's love. Because when you do that, rips it off. It rips it off. All right, go on the next one. Go on down. If anyone hates me, I hate my Father also. Next one. Yeah, I love this. It's so much hotter up here than it is down there with y'all. I'm telling you, them lights is hot. It's like probably 7 degrees warmer up here. I'm gonna turn the air conditioner on one day, just like full blast back here. Woo. All right. That's all right. I'll suffer. I'll make a sacrifice. You know, one person makes a sacrifice so everybody else can enjoy everything. Kind of like Jesus did. Oh, made that Bible. Preached. Oh, on another note, that's why you serve in the church. That's why you serve in the church. Because when you serve in the church, your sacrifice allows everything else to go on. Some of you just want to come in here on Sunday morning and sit. It's all right. But one Sunday morning coming up, because none of y'all want to get up and just serve, I'm going to shut church down. So all of our volunteers get a break. You don't think I'm kidding? Some people need to step up. Let me pass you for a second. Some of you need to step up. Some of you have been sitting here on your tails for years, doing nothing. Want to come into church and get blessed. This ain't a place to be blessed. It's a place to come in and bless the Father. Read the Bible. Read the Old Testament. Sorry. Let's go back. Hold on. We got a lot of people in here that do serve really well, FYI. I ain't bashing on nobody either. We got lots of good people serving in this church. I'm just saying, there's some of you probably needed to hear that just then. Don't quit. Please. All right. But now, listen, if I had not performed miracles in their presence, like no one else has done, they would not feel the guilt of their sins. Wow. Why does God do miracles? Oh. Y'all. That's what I love about our church. This church is a house of miracles. You can look around this room and there's a miracle all over the place. And the reason why God does miracles, oh, He does it because the people that He loves that are living in sin need to see the miracles that He performs, because the miracles that He performs opens their eyes. And once you see something, you can't unsee it. And once you've seen the power of God, you can't unsee it. Once you've seen Him do a miracle, you can't unsee it. Once you've seen Him heal cancer, you can't unsee that. Once you've seen Him do something and somebody walks out of here when they rolled in here, you can't do nothing about that but say, Jesus did it. And so what it does is it elevates our awareness of our God. So I came to tell some people, listen, you got to do your job and get people in the house. Because for some reason in this house, He does miracles. He shows up in our presence and touches somebody's body. And all of a sudden, the hip that used to hurt it don't hurt no more. The head that used to have chronic migraines don't have chronic migraines anymore. The person who had a back problem don't have no back issues no more. God heals broken bones. He's healing wounds in this place. I'm telling you, there's been 3 babies born after prayers to wounds in this church. God's not done. He's not finished yet. He's going to keep on doing it because he's got to get people in a place where he reveals himself so that we can show and share the love of Christ with the world. He does it. He does it so that their sin and guilt can be felt. He wants you to see him. That's all Jesus wants. Because see, here's the deal. Our perspective's often off when it comes to the way we view Christ. And all he wants you to do is see him. So he'll perform a miracle so you see him. He'll do something special so you see him. He wants your eyes fixed on him. Not on your problems, not on your worries, not on your stresses, not on your concerns. He wants you to see him. That he loves you so much, he just wants you to see him. All right, now, let's go on down to let's go next. And all of this has happened to fulfill what's written in their scriptures. They hated me for no reason. None. You're going to get hatred. Ain't going to be no reason. No reason for it. Don't take it personal. Problem in the world and at large is that everybody takes things so personal. No, they don't dislike you. They dislike people in general. No, they don't hate you. They didn't text you back because they're tired. They work themselves to death serving in the community. And they love so deeply everything they're doing for the Lord, and they're working so hard. They're working for their family. They're working for the King. And they're tired. And other people in the world, like, we as the church, number one, let's separate this for just a second. We as the church have got to stop getting so offended. Stop being offended. Stop getting offended. Like, people are people. And most of the time, people make you upset. Stop putting them on pedestals. Don't let someone else have so much control over you that they offend you. You know when someone says something about me? You know what I do? I literally look at Laura and I say, they can go kick rocks. They can go kick rocks and fly a kite. I don't care. Oh, you going to... I'm like, man, I don't get offended. We can't get offended, okay? They're going to hate you, the world, especially by the world. We can't get offended. They're blinded. They don't see the truth. Don't get offended that they can't see the truth because they got scales over their eyes. Be obedient. Share the gospel. Be the one that rips it off their face. Some of y'all need to be... Some of you in the room right now need to make a decision. I was reading this... All right. I didn't know if I was going to finish this way or not, but I probably will. All right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna finish this way. I'm going to read the last bit of text. And I'll send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. And you will tell everyone the truth about me. Not what's easy to tell, but the truth. And I was reading. All right, so in our denomination... there's been some mess going on lately. And just lots of conversations, right, between, like, pastors and leadership and some different stuff going on. And there's a Facebook group that they basically had to shut down because even some of like the pastoral and I'm not trying to like share a bunch of stuff, but there's some tension in the church world right now in general. Does anybody else feel that? You talk to another believer, another Christian, and they have a totally drastically different view on one thing, and they're willing to fight you over it as opposed to agree to disagree. Anybody feel that when you talk to even another Christian? You talk to someone from a different denomination. There's a lot of tension right now, okay? And our general overseer put out a statement that says something about the sons of Issachar. I'm like, I need to dig into that. Because I've heard sons of Issachar. I know what the sons of Issachar mean, but I need to dig into that. So I'm like, all right, let's dig into this a little bit. So I start looking up everything about Issachar. Now, Issachar was born into the world. And Issachar, it literally means like, I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but I ain't got time. It's 12:11. I could preach on Issachar for about 35 minutes, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. So anyways, Issachar was born. It was basically, it was like, I've been paid for my wages. It's basically kind of like the definition of it. All right, it's interesting. Because then, over in like 1 Kings, I don't know why, but I ran across this story in my personal time, reading about the sons of Issachar. Then I get over here, and I start reading about, now the sons of Issachar, back in like Deuteronomy, were given the land of Jezreel. Okay, that was the territory they were given, Jezreel. All right, follow me here. Then I go to 1 Kings, I think it's like chapter 21. And in 1 Kings chapter 21, there's this story about, y'all remember Jezebel? Anybody remember Jezebel? All right. Well, her husband, Ahab, he saw this little vineyard that Naboth. Is it Naboth or Naboth? Naboth. I'm American. I'm a southerner. I butcher Hebrew and Greek words. Hallelujah. Glory. Naboth. So Naboth has got this field, okay? And here comes Ahab. Ahab comes over to him. He comes over to him and says, hey, give me your vineyard. And I'll give you a better vineyard. And not only just give me your vineyard, but also, if you will do this for me, I'll do that. I'll give you an even better vineyard, and I'll pay you all kinds of silver for it. And then Naboth, he said, uh-uh. I ain't doing that. I would be almost like cursing God if I sold my inheritance. This is good. Y'all know where the land was that Naboth owned? Jezreel. Right, so sons of Issachar, keep tracking on me. All right. He had a land, he had a plot of land in Jezreel. Naboth did. The place where Issachar, now the name Issachar, now the sons of Issachar with Daniel, they were known for understanding the times. Okay, stick with me. I'm tying this whole thing together, okay? It's going to be really pretty here in just a second. I'm about to get lit. All right? In Jezreel, there's this land given to the sons of Issachar. Now the sons of Issachar, they were people who understood and knew the times. I think we're in a time when we need some people in the church who understand the times. And this is where I'm getting to. Naboth looked at Ahab and he said, my land's not for sale. For some reason, our mouths have become for sale as the church. And I think we're coming into a generation right now in a time where we're going to have a generation in a church stand up and say, I am my calling and my anointing ain't for sale. Ain't none you can tell me. Ain't no amount of hatred you can throw at me. Ain't no amount of pain you can grab me and try to throw on me. I don't care. My mouth is not for sale. My testimony is not for sale. My anointing is not for sale. My calling is not for sale. I will not sell out because I'm here to glorify my King and be obedient in a time when we cannot have our selling our souls. We have got to step up and be a generation who is obedient when the Holy Ghost says go. Speak. Open your mouth. Do this for my sake. Because we've got to be in a time right now where we don't love our jobs more than sharing the gospel. We don't love our money more than we love sharing the gospel. My house is not for sale. My mouth is not going to be bought. And you will not scare me into failing to share the gospel. We have to become a generation who understands the time. And the time is now to open up your mouth. Be obedient to the call and the pull and the pressing in of the Holy Spirit. When He says to share my good news, share. So what if they hate you? They don't hate you, they hate Him. You have to be obedient. And you have to make a decision. I and my voice and my love for Christ is not for sale. Would you stand with me, church?
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.